Chapter 169. Town, Alan went straight to see Richard, and to carry our joyful news to him and my darling. Late as it was, I meant to go to her for a few minutes, before lying down to sleep, but I went home with my guardian first to make his tea for him, and to occupy the old chair by his side, for I did not like to think of its being empty so soon. When we came home we found that a young man had called three times in the course of that one day to see me, and that having been told on the occasion of his third call that I was not expected to return before 10 o'clock at night, he had left word that he would call about then. He had left his card three times. Mr. Guppy. As I naturally speculated on the object of these visits, and as I always associated something ludicrous with the visitor, it fell out that in laughing about Mr. Guppy I told my guardian of his old proposal and his subsequent retraction. After that, said my guardian, we will certainly receive this hero. So instructions were given, that Mr. Guppy should be shown in when he came again, and they were scarcely given, when he did come again. He was embarrassed when he found my guardian with me, but recovered himself and said, "How do you do, sir?" "How do you do, sir?" returned my guardian. "Thank you, sir, I am tolerable," returned Mr. Guppy. "Will you allow me to introduce my mother, Mrs. Guppy of the Old Street Road, and my particular friend, Mr. Weevil? That is to say, my friend has gone by the name of Weevil, but his name is really and truly Jobling." My guardian begged them to be seated, and they all sat down. "Tony," said Mr. Guppy to his friend after an awkward silence, "will you open the case?" "Do it yourself," returned the friend rather tartly. "Well, Mr. Jarndyce, sir," Mr. Guppy, after a moment's consideration, began, to the great diversion of his mother, which she displayed by nudging Mr. Jobling with her elbow and winking at me in a most remarkable manner, "I had an idea that I should see Miss Summerson by herself, and was not quite prepared for your esteemed presence. But Miss Summerson has mentioned to you, perhaps, that something has passed between us on former occasions?" "Miss Summerson," returned my guardian, smiling, "has made a communication to that effect to me." "That," said Mr. Guppy, "makes matters easier. Sir, I have come out of my articles at Kenge and Carboys, and I believe with satisfaction to all parties. I am now admitted after undergoing an examination that's enough to badger a man blue, touching a pack of nonsense that he don't want to know, on the roll of attorneys, and have taken out my certificate, if it would be any satisfaction to you to see it." "Thank you, Mr. Guppy," returned my guardian. "I am quite willing, I believe I use a legal phrase, to admit the certificate." Mr. Guppy therefore desisted from taking something out of his pocket and proceeded without it. "I have no capital myself, but my mother has a little property which takes the form of an annuity." Here Mr. Guppy's mother rolled her head, as if she never could sufficiently enjoy the observation, and put her handkerchief to her mouth, and again winked at me, "and a few pounds for expenses out of pocket in conducting business will never be wanting, free of interest, which is an advantage, you know," said Mr. Guppy feelingly. "Certainly an advantage," returned my guardian. "I have some connection," pursued Mr. Guppy, "and it lays in the direction of Walcott Square, Lambeth. I have therefore taken a house in that locality, which, in the opinion of my friends, is a hollow bargain, taxes ridiculous, and use of fixtures included in the rent, and intend setting up professionally for myself there forthwith." Here Mr. Guppy's mother fell into an extraordinary passion of rolling her head and smiling waggishly at anybody who would look at her. "It's a six-roomer, exclusive of kitchens," said Mr. Guppy, "and in the opinion of my friends, a commodious tenement." When I mention my friends, I refer principally to my friend Jobling, who I believe has known me. Mr. Guppy looked at him with a sentimental air, from boyhood's hour. Mr. Jobling confirmed this with a sliding movement of his legs. My friend Jobling will render me his assistance in the capacity of clerk, and will live in the house, said Mr. Guppy. My mother will likewise live in the house, when her present quarter in the Old Street Road shall have ceased and expired, and consequently there will be no want of society. My friend Jobling is naturally aristocratic by taste, and besides being acquainted with the movements of the upper circles, fully backs me in the intentions I am now developing. Mr. Jobling said certainly, and withdrew a little from the elbow of Mr. Guppy's mother. Now, I have no occasion to mention to you, sir, you being in the confidence of Miss Summerson, said Mr. Guppy, mother, I wish you'd be so good as to keep still, that Miss Summerson's image was formerly imprinted on my ear, and that I made her a proposal of marriage. That I have heard, returned my guardian. Circumstances, pursued Mr. Guppy, over which I had no control, but quite the contrary, weakened the impression of that image for a time. At which time Miss Summerson's conduct was highly genteel, I may even add, magnanimous. My guardian patted me on the shoulder, and seemed much amused. Now, sir, said Mr. Guppy, I have got into that state of mind myself, that I wish for a reciprocity of magnanimous behavior. I wish to prove to Miss Summerson that I can rise to a height of which perhaps she hardly thought me capable. I find that the image which I did suppose had been eradicated from my ear is not eradicated. Its influence over me is still tremendous, and yielding to it, I am willing to overlook the circumstances over which none of us have had any control, and to renew those proposals to Miss Summerson which I had the honor to make at a former period. I beg to lay the house in Walcott Square, the business, and myself before Miss Summerson for her acceptance. Very magnanimous indeed, sir, observed my guardian. Well, sir, replied Mr. Guppy with candor, my wish is to be magnanimous. I do not consider that in making this offer to Miss Summerson I am by any means throwing myself away, neither is that the opinion of my friends. Still, there are circumstances which I submit may be taken into account as a set-off against any little drawbacks of mine, and so a fair and equitable balance arrived at. I take upon myself, sir, said my guardian, laughing as he rang the bell, to reply to your proposals on behalf of Miss Summerson. She is very sensible of your handsome intentions, and wishes you good evening, and wishes you well. Oh, said Mr. Guppy with a blank look. Is that tantamount, sir, to acceptance, or rejection, or consideration? To decided rejection, if you please, returned my guardian. Mr. Guppy looked incredulously at his friend, and at his mother, who suddenly turned very angry, and at the floor, and at the ceiling. Indeed? Said he. Then, Jobling, if you was the friend you represent yourself, I should think you might hand my mother out of the gangway instead of allowing her to remain where she ain't wanted. But Mrs. Guppy positively refused to come out of the gangway. She wouldn't hear of it. Why, get along with you, said she to my guardian, what do you mean? Ain't my son good enough for you? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Get out with you. My good lady, returned my guardian, it is hardly reasonable to ask me to get out of my own room. I don't care for that, said Mrs. Guppy. Get out with you. If we ain't good enough for you, go and procure somebody that is good enough. Go along and find them. I was quite unprepared for the rapid manner in which Mrs. Guppy's power of jocularity merged into a power of taking the profoundest offense. Go along and find somebody that's good enough for you, repeated Mrs. Guppy. Get out. Nothing seemed to astonish Mr. Guppy's mother so much and to make her so very indignant as our not getting out. Why don't you get out? Said Mrs. Guppy. What are you stopping here for? Mother, interposed her son, always getting before her, and pushing her back with one shoulder as she sidled at my guardian, will you hold your tongue? No, William, she returned, I won't. Not unless he gets out, I won't. However, Mr. Guppy and Mr. Jobling together closed on Mr. Guppy's mother, who began to be quite abusive, and took her, very much against her will, downstairs, her voice rising a stair higher every time her figure got a stair lower, and insisting that we should immediately go, and find somebody who was good enough for us, and above all things, that we should get out. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.